This is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, a podcast for diehard Cleveland Indians fans, presented to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. Now, here are the hosts, Matt and Todd Dairy.
Man, just two more weeks left in the season. We welcome you to the Dairy Brothers Tribecast. WaitingForNextYear.com is where you find us. It is Matt and Todd on a Monday, September 20th. Boy, the Indians went into the Bronx, and just as we expected, they kicked their ass. 22 runs over the last two games. Oh, come on, Todd. This is exactly what we predicted, baby.
Oh, God, that was beautiful, huh? And you know what's the best part about it? The Yankees are playing essentially to save their season. And they're like licking their chops. Ooh, we get to get right against the Tribe who we've owned. And then and on Sunday, it's Gerrit Cole versus Eli Morgan. There's no possible way we're going to lose that game. And then we went in and we spanked their ass. I mean, that was just that yesterday's game. Listen, there's been many surprising things that have happened over the last couple of years. This yesterday's win has to be the most surprising by far, right? I mean, do you ever remember going into a game thinking there's no chance we're going to win and then going 11 runs against the best pitcher in the American League? I mean,
well, that's crazy. Let's talk about this because number one, hold on. Center for Advanced Dentistry and BreakingT.com, they're our sponsors. And thanks to both of them. Let's talk about this because number one, you're missing the best part of yesterday. Forget the game. The how you and the executive producer were getting updates on the Tribe game as you were knee deep in brown and orange action. Come on now. I mean,
okay, all right. I will say, I was at the executive producer and I were at the Browns home opener, and while it's all going on, there's not one single football text in the chat, in our group text. It was all Tribe, all coming from you with the updates, baby. All over that shit. Nobody, listen, people, nobody, and I mean nobody. I mean, I love this team. I bleed Wahoo red, white, and blue, or Guardians red, white, and blue. But no, there's nobody that loves this team more than Matt Dairy. Nobody.
The fact that the Indians game was first and foremost in my mind yesterday is everybody else was watching Browns and Texans, and I was keeping an eye on it, of course. But hey, I mean, I wanted to take two out of three from the Yanks. How are we going to even touch Gerrit Cole, because we've been no hit 50 times this year, and here's, you know, maybe the Cy Young winner in the American League, and they touched him up. It was unbelievable.
You know, we didn't have a podcast. Excuse my voice, by the way. This is all from yelling the last 2 days. We didn't have a podcast last week because after the Brewers, who, by the way, I think could win the World Series. I know the Dodgers are the Dodgers and the Giants are out of their minds, and I still don't believe that the Giants will ever win a playoff series with the way they're constructed. But that Brewers team was no joke. They came into Cleveland and absolutely manhandled us. We couldn't hit. We couldn't stop them from hitting. Corbin Burnes and Josh Hader combined on a no-hitter. And you and I were so disgusted last week. And it was the Browns' first game. And you and I were just like, no one's listening to us after the Browns-Chiefs. And you know what?
No.
Who needs to hear about this crappy, the crappy weekend it was? So we had the bonus pod with Andre Knott, who we thank and was awesome, gave us great insight. But, you know, after the Brewers series, you just felt like it literally going into this weekend, really, against the Yankees, you and I were, and the executive producer were having conversations, especially during that Twin series. I know they ended up taking two out of three, but. You know,
four and two road trip, baby.
It was a 4-2 road trip.
Ooh, yeah.
But after that Brewers series, we were like, man, this team looks like they are just done. It was Friday night. They got smoked against the Yankees. They couldn't hit. The bats were terrible. It just looked like, ugh, they look like they are ready to cash it in. And then, you know, Saturday and Sunday, the offense that couldn't score forever just went 11 runs and 11 runs back to back. And they put 12 on the board in the final game of this Twin series. So, by the way, this was out without Ahmed Rosario, might I add. which is crazy.
And yesterday, you know, you looked at the lineup and you went, wait a minute, why is Franmil Reyes getting a day off? He's on fire. And yet the Indians found a way to put up another 11 burger on Cole and then the Yankee bullpen. And there's so many things to talk about with 2 weeks to go and everything else. There's news of the day, which we're going to get to. Tito apparently is going to be back next year. Chris Antonetti had an update there. But let me start somewhere that we weren't going to start, but I want to do it. Chris Antonetti did make the point of saying Tito is already planning for 2022. And I know we're sitting here celebrating and genuflecting in front of this Tribe offense after a 22-run outburst over the last 2 days. But the offense is still the offense. They've still been no-hit four times. And don't give me the stuff about, well, it was three and an asterisk. No, it was four. Those were complete games, whether it was seven innings or not. That's embarrassing. Yep. And I hope that one of the plans for 2022 that Tito is thinking about is removing Ty Van Berkelio from his 9-year perch as hitting coach. Your thoughts?
My thoughts are, if I was as bad at my job as Ty Van Berkelio has been at his, I would have been fired 3 years ago, maybe longer. There's only so much that you can live off of 2016 at this point. And Van Bo, who I'm sure is a wonderful human being by all accounts, It's time for a change. They have not been a good hitting team basically since 2017. The voices need to change. I know they have an assistant hitting coach that they brought in a couple years ago.
Victor Rodriguez?
Yes. It's just, we talked about this a couple of podcasts ago. You watch, and watching the Yankees series, and watching the Yankees in general, or even Boston or Tampa. These are teams that have this approach at the plate where these guys are working counts. And you are seeing long at-bats, and you're seeing starting pitchers removed earlier because their pitch count comes up. Patient teams. I swear, I don't see that ever with the Cleveland baseball team. Everyone's swinging early, you know, and they're not working counts and just these prolonged slumps. I mean, basically going into the Minnesota series, like the entire lineup was in a prolonged slump. And they talk about it on the broadcast a million times too. I don't understand it.
Well, I mean, I'm not
going to need, but here's the other thing. I'll just close it up and let you go. But
yeah,
the other thing is you got to have some younger voices. The game is going younger. And the Indians coaching staff, Sandy's the youngest guy, I think. Although, you know, that Hudson, the third base, the new third base coach. Have you seen him or heard him interviewed yet, by the way?
No, I just know he waves everybody in, which is fine by me.
I love him. Big Luke Hudson. Is it Luke Hudson? Is that his name?
No. I don't even know his first name. It's not Luke.
No, Luke Hudson was the pitcher for the Cardinals.
What about Tim Hudson? It's not Tim either. It's not Daniel. But, name that Hudson.
What about Hudson Geski?
What the hell? That is way inside. Ooh, baby. That's awesome.
I saw Hudson interviewed a couple weeks ago on the broadcast. He's really young. He looked like he was, you know, still a player. And I like that. We need younger voices on this staff. It's like Carl Willis is a dinosaur.
Ruben's semi-young.
But I'm saying, like, you need some younger voices on this staff, and there's no better way to replace the start than you know, the hitting coach.
Well, TGB. I don't even care about the approach. The approach the last couple of days wasn't bad. What I care about is improvement and player development. The fact that I'm not saying guys are all supposed to come up from AAA, and it's a big jump from AAA to the majors. I get that. But outside of a guy like Bobby Bradley, who's gotten better? Who's come up and you see development? You know, and I hate to use this example, but they're right underneath my nose here. And the unnamed team, the improvement that the Tigers have made this year because they have a better staff. AJ Hinch, Scott Coolbaugh, their hitting coach, and Chris Federer, their pitching coach, have improved there. Badu, Haas, Willie Peralta, these guys have gotten better because they've been coached. On the pitching side, we're good. I mean, we're money, but on the hitting side, my God, who's come up here and made adjustments, become a better hitter, become consistent. Jose Ramirez, maybe. That was, you know,
but that's just ability. I mean, at this point, this year in particular, I think the only guys that you could say that are playing over their skis or have really improved were Ahmed Rosario. I don't even know. I mean, Bobby Bradley's approach is better, but is he that much better? I mean, he hit he had 10 homers in his first 100 at bats. He's now had 3, including one this weekend, in his next 100 at bats, essentially 100 plus at bats.
Well, no, I'm reaching. You're right. I mean, I'm
reaching.
Yu Chang.
That was exactly what I was going to say. Yu Chang.
Who's probably his performance over the last couple of weeks with an OPS now closing in on 700, which for the Indians is like a big deal.
It's, you know, 900 for other teams.
Yeah. Right. But then, like, when you looked at the Brewers box score and you saw every single guy in the 770s, and then our guys are in the 5, 6, a few, and even Miles Straw, who I love, but Miles is a below 700 OPS guy. He's a slap hitter that, you know, for a leadoff guy with speed, I'm fine with, but that's if 2, 3, 4, and 5 are all really good. Miles Straw, you know, that's the point. And the at-bats, again, and I don't want to lament on the Milwaukee thing from over a week ago, but it still begs the question. When there's games like Friday night against the Yankees where it's just, you know, you guys were bagging on Plesac a little bit, you and Jeremy. It's like, hold on a second. I mean, the guy pitches every time, and every time he pitches, we don't hit. He's been the no-hit other pitcher three times. So what do you expect? And then Friday night, same thing. I mean, he gave up a couple of solo slices, and then to Gallo and Judge. It. Yeah, until Whitgren came in, and that was the end of that.
No, but you're right about Plesac. Like, I was very hard on him, and he ended up going 6 innings and only giving up 2 runs. I mean,
yeah, so we had 2 hits against who was pitching for the Corey Kluber. God bless him. Okay, Cleveland legend, and would never speak badly of him. But come on, but he's a corpse now. Come on, he's topping out at 89.
He was just painting. It's funny. Over the years, we've always had trouble with those kind of savvy veteran. Like, do you remember how Jamie Moyer just owned us forever?
In the playoff game too.
I think he pitched game 5.
Yes, he did.
In 01.
He paid. Yeah, in the Robbie Alomar mail-in game.
Yeah.
Screw him.
I agree. It's a good thing you and I don't hold grudges.
Change. It's time for change. Change for the future.
That's right.
No, but it is. It is. And I know it's very cliche to throw that up on Twitter. And I listen to Zach Meisel on his podcast. I always make fun of people. And say, you're just going to fire Ty Van Berkley? Yes. Yes, we are.
He's been on the job for 2 years.
Enough's enough. 9 years. Nine years. So
I can't believe, yeah.
You got to do it.
What it comes down to with that is that because of the respect that Antonetti and Chernoff have for Tito, I don't know how many other organizations are letting these guys pick in their own coaching staff at this point. I mean, I think we both know that the sport has gone to the general managers are essentially the managers are essentially placeholders and kind of told what to do at this point. The analytical teams, like I think Aaron Boone in New York, for example, Cashman tells him what to do. Cashman, you know what I mean? It's that way, but not in Cleveland. Tito's still calling the shots when it comes to, I mean, I'm not saying he calls the shots when he comes to the roster, but he's picking his own coaching staff.
Well, there may be a discussion that goes on this offseason or even right now. Yeah. As they sit at games together, because Tito's sitting with Antonetti and Chernoff at some of these games in the stands or up in the suite, and Tito's going, look, get me some help. I'm not trotting out the Zimmer Mercado platoon or DeLucci Michaels platoon or every platoon known to mankind, Ben Gamel, Jordan Luplo, and opening day platoon in center field. Get me somebody.
I forgot about Ben Gamel.
He's actually had a decent year for the Pirates, if you look it up. I mean, decent for him. But maybe he's going, okay, get me some help. And they're going, okay, we'll get you some help. But you know what you're going to do for us? Tell your boy to go to go fly a kite, you know, like tell him to take a walk. Like, I know it's your guy, but it's been 9 years. We would like somebody, like you said, a fresh voice in the room. So.
Yeah. Just give me somebody younger, you know, come on, just go with it.
Ageism with Todd Derry, 248-216-578.
About ageism. I voted for the old man in the White House. Now that guy's pretty, you know how that goes.
I do. All right. So we got 9 games this week. We're going to go over the pitching matchups later. There's a doubleheader today.
Nine games.
Yeah. They're playing 4 with the Royals and 5 with the White Sox.
Oh my God. That's insane that they're playing 9 games in a week, but you know what that means? That means that's 9 chances for Manny to get some saves for 10% capacity in the World Series, baby.
Congratulations. That's huge for you. The fantasy team, NL only team D's, season's over.
Oh man, what happened? Couldn't make it to that final 2 week World Series, huh?
Well, I lost in the division series. This was the final 4 on each side, and I lost the 2 seed, as you know, last week. I slipped down to the 3 seed, and then I'll tell you, relying on somebody like Kyle Hendricks, who I should never have had on my team to begin with.
As I told you when you texted me about Kyle Hendricks, that's your fault for putting a 2016 Cub on your roster.
It is, and he got me some. He did well for me a year ago, but he cost me big time. Poor managing on my part, not starting Kyle Freeland this week and starting Kyle Hendricks and injuries. And so I bow out. Team D's done for the year. By the way,
I'm sorry, but real quick, shout out to my neighbor, Mike Goldstein, who I took down in the semis, made a valiant comeback. I held him off with the Jose Barrios to Jordan Romano win and save, which gave me the win yesterday.
Combination.
It was beautiful. But yeah, I got, and you know who else carried me the last couple of weeks? No joke, Tristan McKenzie. He's been unbelievably good. I don't need to tell Drive fans because they already know.
Oh yeah, no, and I can't wait for next year in my NL only league when I can finally get rid of a Eugenio Suarez, who has been nothing but a thorn in my side. But that's on me as a GM. I traded Jazz Chisholm. I got very cocky at the deadline and decided to make a move and. You want to make a move and screwed that up. But anyway, big news, Indians perspective on Twitter, breaking the news this morning that Anthony Gose, Zach Meisel's boy, is coming up for their last 2 weeks of the year to bolster the bullpen. And they're going to give him a chance. 31 years of age, back in the bigs, of course, former outfielder. Weird dude, but here he is. They're gonna give him a chance, and supposedly today.
You know what? I had been reading a lot about him recently because he's been so hot, and you know he would have been a free agent at the end of this year if he was not added to the 40 man. And listen, the Indians have put in basically almost 3 years of work on him, 2.5 years. To get him to become a reliever. And now he's getting that look. In his last 11 games where he's pitched 13 innings, 0 earned runs, 21 strikeouts, 6 walks, and only 3 hits. So, listen, the guy's throwing 100 miles per hour. He's a lefty. And you've put in all this work. Why, at this point, you got to give him a shot, right? You got between him and Francisco Perez. These are 2 guys that are now up. Let's see it for the next 2 weeks, right? Throw them out there. Trevor Stephan seems to have been, I mean, he's been on in the bullpen the whole year because he's Rule 5 guy. Seems like a keeper, throwing hard. I like what I've seen with him. They can definitely continue the development on him. But Perez and Ghost are 2 more guys that you may need next year. We just don't know. There's just, and with a guy like Ghost that you put in all that time and effort to, why would you do all that and then let him go? Let's see it. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, no.
Ghost, G-O-S-E.
Oh, wow. There we go. I don't see any reason why you shouldn't give him a shot. The bullpen, you know, there's going to be slots.
Ed?
Ed Slot, House, whatever, all the one-liners. We'll talk minimum distributions later, but required.
Special guest Andrew Rafael.
Required. Write those checks. But it's like, you look at the bullpen next year, you're right. Karinchak finally pitching at Columbus. I don't know if they Ooh. Took a 99. Finally pitching at Columbus. You know Class A is going to be back, and he's been fantastic all year.
He should win Rookie of the Year, by the way.
Is he eligible for that?
Yes, he is. Dude, Randy Arozarena is eligible for it. Yeah, I saw a list of like the top five candidates. And yes, Class A is
considered a rookie. Okay, well, let's go for it. I mean, he's been awesome. But then outside of that, who's back next year? You mentioned Stephan. If you watch Trevor Stephan pitch yesterday against the Yankees, and I'll say this, the Yankees were licking the stamp at the end of yesterday's game. Once that game got out of hand, they quit. They totally quit. So Stephan just mowed him down. He had struck out the side, I think, in the seventh inning, and it was like, wait a minute, what is this? But he's an arm that, you're right, if working with our crew and the pitching factory can be a factor next year. I'm guaranteeing you Brian Shaw will be back. I mean, I know, you know, he's on a one-year deal, but, you know, who else, you know, is Blake Parker a lock to be back next year? I mean, he's pitched well and has been a nice surprise. He's kind of one of those veterans like in the manship, Otero category. But there's some open spots for next year. And so why not take a look at Ghost and see what goes on with him? And, you know, we have six starters already lined up for next year. So that's good. But as far as the pen, you should see what you have in Ghost. This has been a lot of see what we have for the last few months, actually.
Yeah. We may even have seven starters if you're going to throw Cody Morris into that mix. He's been so hot. I mean, and the amount of arms that just are on the come. I mean, they just, you know, Xavion Curry, guy, they moved him up to Akron last week. He dominated Lake County this year. I mean, I love, you know, now listen, there are many terrible things about the internet. The one thing that I do love about it is I know so much more about our organization and the prospects that I've ever known before, right? Don't you feel like you just know so much more than you
Well, see? Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, because now you're right. All these guys that are on Twitter and these people that follow and the Indians prospect Twitter, I guess you want to call it that. Yeah. They turn those MILB videos around so fast. So if Nolan Jones, well, he's hurt, but let's say Gabe Arias is hitting another double into the gap, 5 minutes later, you'll see it on your feed.
Yeah, it's great.
And that kid, that, you know, we can transition into that. I mean, that kid's been on fire, you know, OPS over right at 800 for Columbus. And, you know, I know he had a nice weekend, Andrés Giménez did, or Andreas, as he's called by a certain play-by-play guy. I don't get that, but okay. Hit a nice home run the other day, or yesterday, or Saturday. But, you know, how many of these guys are getting a chance to play right now? Are we locking in for next year? I can't believe I'm about to say this, but the one guy that's, I think, definitely playing his way onto the roster is Yu Chang.
He is. I mean, here's the other thing. You can tell, I know this is going to sound crazy, but Tito trusts him more than he trusts most guys on the in the current roster because he's been around the longest. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think he...
Well, Zimmer's been around longer.
No, but I'm saying like there's more trust. Well, I'm just talking about the dearth of middle infielders. Like right now, you need one hit from one at bat. Okay, who would you rather have up there? Yu Chang, Owen Miller, Ernie Clement, or Andrés Giménez? You're picking one of those four. You know he's sending Chang up there, right? Who would you choose?
It's
like picking the best looking Omega Mu.
Yeah, true. No, yeah, but I know. I mean, no, Yu Chang has delivered in the last month. It's wild to say, but it is. I mean, the home run he hit the other Saturday night, I mean, he blasted that thing.
When he, I'll say this for him, his swing is beautiful. And when he does get a hold of it, he really does. But
I can't get past like opening day or like when he was at first base. And I don't know. I mean, he's. Is that our utility guy for next year? I guess it's fine, but I mean, I'm tired of having this discussion with you every week about.
Right,
well, he could be our fourth outfielder. He could be our fifth outfielder. Who's our number one outfielder? Can we get a number one? You know,
that's the point here. Yeah.
That's why we've had the discussion about, and I got a name for you. Speaking of free agent outfielders, let's say we've talked about Castellanos for a few weeks, and let's say the Indians, they just can't afford him. What about Mark Canna in right field opening day next year?
He's fine. He doesn't really do much for me. He strikes me as being, he's fine, but at that point, why wouldn't you just go with Harold?
Well, Mark Canna is a better player than Harold Ramirez.
He is, but Mark Canna is, it's not like, okay, we talked about this with Andre the other day. Like, Conforto is a free agent who's going to cost too much money for what he is.
He's also hitting he's also hitting 215.
Yeah, his numbers are not good. I agree. I mean, I guess Mark Canna's a nice player. I mean, again, but I don't want another guy who's a nice player. We need this team doesn't need another.
I don't disagree, nice but the
we need Nick Castellanos type. Yes. I need a real bat I can play. Right. You know what I need? I need Eddie Rosario from 2017. You know what I mean? A guy you can count on. Put him in, like, the plan for Eddie at the beginning of the year was. By the way, he hit for the
cycle yesterday on five pitches.
Yeah.
good for him. The Braves, I don't know how they do it, but they do it.
Where was that 3 months ago when we could have used it?
That's right.
3 blocks ago or 3 months ago. But seriously, that's the type of player we need. Like, the plan for Eddie was, we sign this guy, we put him in left field every day, pencil his name in the lineup, hit him in the same spot every day, and just leave it. That's what we need. Is Mark Canna that guy, though?
No, but he's a step up from anything that we have. And I'm looking at, I've been perusing the free agent list, and like when the top outfielders, and Castellanos, of course, is big time. I mean, that's an all-star bat. But when
he has to opt out, by the way.
But he's going to, I think.
Yeah.
But then you're talking about guys like Mark Canna, Michael Conforto, Leury Garcia can play all over the diamond. He's a Tito type, you know. But he's a free, but that's somebody that will leave the White Sox because they have enough. They don't need him. They've got plenty of guys. He could play every day somewhere, but it's not a great list is my point. So Mark Canna is on that list. He's a guy at 32 years of age or 33 or whatever he is that he goes on some runs and pounds the baseball, and it's better than watching Bradley Zimmer swing over one. I know he's hit a few colossal Titanic home runs here in the second half, but sorry, I'm not impressed. Guys like Zimmer, Mercado, heck, Daniel Johnson. I mean, he's not even here. The guy's in Columbus. I mean, there's no way he'll be back. No way.
You know, when the season's over and when he's finally gone, we can speak on it more. But I think that his time is coming to an end. I think Oscar Mercado's time is coming to an end. And the only reason Zimmer is going to stick around is because of his speed and defense, and while that power is tantalizing, even though it's there sometimes, not all the time. And we've said this 500 times, so here's 501. Zimmer is a fourth or fifth outfielder on a good team, someone who plays twice a week and is a defensive replacement and pinch runner. I don't need him batting second or batting fifth and playing every day.
That's my problem. He plays every day. Every day.
Well, he has to. I mean, Mercado's, again, you know what? He's a great kid, super nice. He's not good. He's just not good. He's not. And then you got Harold. At this point, you're playing Harold. You're trying him. Straw's in center field. I mean, it's limited options, you know? So you got to play.
Was it one of the Twins games where Mercado couldn't lay the bunt down and then he hits a three-run homer?
Yeah.
And he watched it too. That was kind of.
He really watched that one too. And you know what? Good for him. I was very happy for him that happened because I know he struggled mentally last year, big time. You remember how lost he looked? Oh God, he lost his confidence, and it just his swing is just so long. You know, that long swing. But when he connects, it's great.
Could we sign Marcus Semien and put him at second base, or put him at shortstop or second base, or is that like way far fetched?
No, please. Well, after the numbers he got put up this year,
it's another bat. That's another bat.
You know, with the way the Blue Jays are going right now, And they're a, you know, they're a big market team. If you're the Blue Jays, will probably want to re-sign him and bring him back.
They should.
That core that they have, they're the hottest team in the league. That's a team nobody wants to play in.
Oh yeah, no.
If they get past that wild card, I think they're going to the World Series. It's just in the wild card game, it's just so tough because we're back to one game, win or lose, and then you're in or you're out. But I would not want to be the team that has to play Toronto in the playoffs because that team is just loaded and they're pitching really well too. I mean, that the rotation, adding Barrios has been great.
That Manoah kid is good too.
Yeah, the rookie, he's great. And you know, I know they just put Ryu on the DL. He's only going to miss one start, but Romano's finally locked on that closer role. And Julian Merriweather was just activated. They got him back in the bullpen, throwing 100. Former Tribe farmhand, by the way. You know who we gave up? Julian Merriweather.
Yeah, again? That was a trade with the Blue Jays. It was.
That's correct.
That just happened a couple years ago.
Yes, it did. It was 2018.
It was a very short-lived. That was Josh Donaldson.
Josh Donaldson is correct.
Took me a second.
Yeah.
He's a dick, by the way.
Hate him.
Him and Sano can suck it, as you would say.
Exactly.
I enjoyed finally beating the Twins the other day. That was good. But Dairy Brothers Tribe Cast, Matt and Todd with you. Brought to you by our friends at the Center for Advanced Dentistry and Breaking Tea t-shirts. Just go to breakingtea.com/dairy. I know people are all lathered up in that Browns butter after yesterday's win. They got so much gear there. I'm getting an unnamed Detroit sports talk host, a Franimal shirt because he's on his fantasy team. BreakingTea.com/dairy, DERY, takes you right to the Cleveland collection. Get your gear at Breaking Tea. What else do we have on the list, Todd? Because I'm my phone is over here.
Let's talk about some baseball business. What else do we have on the list? Here's what we had.
We've hit on a lot of everything.
We've gone. Oh, here, the last thing that we have not discussed yet. So you said Terry Francona will be back in 2021, but the real 2022. The real question is, will Mike Chernoff or Chris Antonetti still be in the organization? Because the New York Mets, as we know, the New York Mets, looking for a baseball czar to take over. You know, for Sandy Alderson eventually, who just signed on for another couple of years, just kind of to right the ship because of their first GM got busted as a sexual deviant.
Sexual harasser. Second GM's a drunk.
Second GM leaving the new owner's home is busted for DUI at 4:15 in the morning. So now they're on the lookout, and they need someone real. And it always comes back to Antonetti and Chernoff in particular, because as we've discussed on this pod, he grew up a Mets fan, grew up in New York. His parents are still in New York, and it always kind of seemed like a dream job for him. Now, the real question is, you know, you see these lists that people have put out that they want to go after Billy Beane, who has Mets ties.
Oh, and if Billy Beane leaves, he's taking Bob Melvin with him.
Well, that's the whole thing. Is that the combo platter? That's probably what they look at. But it is that a second time now that they're gonna, if they come back to Chernoff, is it a Roy Williams situation where the first time Dean Smith said, you know, he turned down Kansas, or he stayed in Kansas and turned down North Carolina the first time, and the second time around after the Matt Doherty debacle, Dean Smith said to Roy Williams, last time we wanted you and this time we need you. And he couldn't turn it down.
What about that famous interview where he said he doesn't give a flip about North Carolina?
He said, I don't give a shit is what he said.
Oh, I thought he said flip.
No, he said, I don't give a shit. It was on national TV, Bonnie Bernstein. Look it up. It was right after your school beat my school in the national championship game.
Yes.
And then 5 days later, he left.
How great is Roy Williams, though? First class.
I love that, man.
I'll take him over Coach K in a first class contest any day.
You know what? He is way more authentic of a human being. I can tell you that. Like, he's a very emotional guy, and he's a wonderful human being. And I'm sure I haven't told the story on the pod, but I'll give you the short version. I was flying Southwest Airlines from Kansas City to Las Vegas in, you know, I was at Chicago to Las Vegas, stop in Kansas City. And I'm on the plane, and it's nothing but middle seats on Southwest. And who comes walking in, and there's a middle seat next to me? Roy Williams, my coach. And this was 2002, I think. It was either 01 or 02.
Yeah.
I think it was 0, might have been 01. And I looked at him. I was like, Coach, you could have the aisle. And I moved over to the middle seat, and I sat next to him for the entire plane ride. And I didn't want to annoy him. I asked him a few questions. He could not have been nicer. And then he took a picture with me.
By baggage claim.
Yes.
And it's a famous picture.
I sent it to him with a handwritten letter. I blew it up in an 8x10. I sent it two copies, one for Dad and one for me. I sent in two copies. I wrote this nice handwritten letter saying, I really appreciate meeting you. You were so nice. Da, da, da. 5 days later, arrives back at my house. To Todd, best wishes, Roy Williams. To Bobby, best wishes, Roy Williams. And that is framed in my office next to the happy 40th Todd Bill Self photo that you got me for my
Yes. Coach Self's a good man.
That's right. Three autograph photos. Those two and Mario Chalmers hitting the shot.
Oh, I love it. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. I remember when you and I went to Lawrence and we went up to Bill Self after the game. Because I was doing Detroit Mercy at the time, and I'm like, Bill, it's my brother Todd. Oh, hey, Todd, you totally remember talking to you many years ago.
The best. What a great dude.
So
what a great dude. Yeah, I don't know how we got there, but we were talking about Antonetti and Chernoff. Yeah, so I don't know. Do you think that if Mike Chernoff is offered that job a second time, he jumps or he says, screw it, I love living in Cleveland, you know. It's an easier job.
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. You're right. There's two ways of looking at it. Number one, he finally goes, and this is the chance, and they're desperate and need him. Or number two, it's such a mess because the predecessors were, you know, one drinking at 4:15 in the morning and driving, and then the other one was harassing women on the internet and everywhere else. So maybe you just stay away, you know? And Steve Cohen has not shown me anything to be somebody I would want to work for, you know? Do you want to be the GM that has to call your owner and go, Steve, hey, it's Mike. Can you get off Twitter? You're pissing the players off. You don't want to be making that phone call.
Did you see, by the way, I guess last night, A-Rod said on the broadcast that Michael Conforto, if he wants to get a contract extension done with the Mets, he should bypass his agent and just negotiate straight up with Stephen Cohen.
Did you hear that? I did not.
What a fucking idiot that guy is.
Who, A-Rod? Yeah, that it's great. Yeah. How about A-Rod last week? What's bad is that Vaskirjan is so good. And if you ever watch Angels games, he's hilarious on the Angels games with Mark Gubiza. But on Sunday Night Baseball, he's buttoned up, uncomfortable, and having to take a back seat to Alex. And it's awful. It's awful. It's like, so yeah, weird. It is bad.
I just don't think to me, and you know, Chernoff lives in Beechwood, I think, and I have a couple friends who, you know, his son plays Little League sports with, and they say he's the nicest guy in the world, and you know, they really seem to like living here. And what kind of pressure Mike Chernoff can walk into, go anywhere and know what he's bothering him.
Right.
Go to New York, but then again, it only takes one gigantic check. That's what I say about my company that I work for to my boss all the time. You know, they always say they're in it for the long haul. It's a family business. And I was like, yeah, until that one person comes along and says, here's a check for whatever you want to buy you out. It only takes one big check to change your mind. So I don't know.
I it's possible. But again, there are some exciting things on the horizon. A possible minority owner that we've talked about with the Guardians, the new name, the gear, a rebranding, hopefully some a bigger payroll next year. And if you get a healthy rotation going into next year, why can't you compete with this team? And there's some spots open and there's some young guys finally coming, young position players that are real, not this garbage we've been trotting out for the last few years where, let's try this prospect. He might be okay. No. Baseball America, Prospectus, all these people are saying that we've got some top 100 guys. So let's see them. If Gabe Arias is ready, let's go. Put him at shortstop.
Amen, brother. So right, I gotta run.
All right, so real fast.
Matchups real quick because right. There's nine games.
All right, here's all I know right now. All right, McKenzie and Singer this afternoon. Tribe Royals at 1:10 today.
No, it's
1:10 Thursday. We have a 1:10 Thursday game.
Yeah, 4:10. Oh, right. And I'll be there.
All right, McKenzie Singer for the first game. Second game, no one knows what they're doing on each side. I've only seen, that's all I can see. Cal Quantrill tomorrow against Daniel Lynch, the left-hander. And then Thursday, Logan Allen, your favorite.
Logan.
And Carlos Hernandez, the young right-hander for the Royals. Thursday doubleheader. One of those games will be Plesac against Lance Lynn. The other game, who knows? Friday.
I see Dylan Cease against Savali in the other game as projected.
No, I had Giolito because I see Lynn, Giolito, Rodon, and Keuchel Thursday through Sunday.
I see Cease, Lynn, Giolito, Rodon, and Keuchel on Sunday.
No, so Cease will be in one of those games you're saying
one
on Thursday.
One of those two games on Thursday.
Oh, okay, got it. Cease, yeah. And then we've got Savali, Morgan, and McKenzie on Sunday. So Morgan against Rodon will be interesting on Saturday. Of course, Rodon no hit us. But the White Sox, they're pitching six guys too. They're using Reynaldo Lopez, and he'll pitch against the unnamed team before they come into town. So,
and they're just lining things up now for October, and you know, so good.
What about Muntober or Rontober?
Actually, it's funny because a coworker of mine, he and his brother are coming in this weekend. They're White Sox fans. And they're going to Tribe White Sox and then Browns Bears on Sunday. I'm sure there'll be a lot of.
It'll be Justin Fields too. It'll make it very intriguing on Sunday. So.
Oh yeah. Oh, one last thing before I go. The bottleneck that I was caught in yesterday while holding Brooke, she was holding on to me as tight as I've ever been held onto by any other human being, walking through the stadium. Let's just say if I catch COVID in the next week, I know where I got it. Even though I had a mask on, it was sardines up in that.
It happens all the time. It happens all the time with these stadiums.
First time this has ever happened to me in the stadium. It would have been scary if there wasn't COVID. It was even scarier when
when Stefanski said we need everybody in their seats at 1:00, I'm like, there's going to be a mad rush. And I love the guy. Stefanski's great, but it's like, geez, you know.
Yeah.
For some odd reason, you're right. There's not enough space.
Yeah, the concourse was not wide enough. It was not great.
No. All right, buddy. Great work, Dairy Brothers Tribecast for another week. Let's get some W's this week. Finish over 500 and fire Ty Van Berkelio. We're out of room and out of here.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book, and together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our ninth season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.